If you got a government stimulus payment, where did you spend it? At a local store or in a big discount retailer? Actually, what difference does it make where you spend your money? Michael Schumann believes it makes a lot of difference. He wrote a book called The Small Mart Revolution about the role that small, locally owned business can play in creating a vibrant local economy. And he thinks now's the time to live local. Michael Schumann's an economist, and for the past 25 years, he's been promoting local economic development in the United States, and indeed throughout the world. He joins me now from Brisbane, where the Building Community Centred Economies Conference is being held. Welcome to Life Matters, Michael.
Nice to be with you.
I want to start by asking you about Tina and Lois. Now, who are they?
Well, these are my archetypes of two possible directions capitalism might go in. Tina sort of represents Maggie Thatcher's vision of global development. There is no alternative, T-I-N-A, to the global economy. And it's fair to say that economic developers around the world have embraced Tina with three mantras, and they are effectively get Toyota or any other non-local company to locate in your backyard, export your goods as far and wide as possible, and then convince local businesses, which may or may not be so directly connected to the first two points, that all of this is in their interest. LOIS represents the alternative, and LOIS stands for locally owned and import substituting development. And what I argue in the Small Mart Revolution is that locally owned businesses that are focused first and foremost on local markets contribute substantially more to economic development than these schemes to attract or retain non-local businesses.
But hasn't trade, global trade, been a sort of staggering success if you look at humanity's history and made all of us, most people at least, better off?
Absolutely. And localization actually, ironically, increases local trade and global trade, because you need to think of localization as people taking advantage of cost-effective local opportunities, growing wealthier from those opportunities, and then with the greater wealth, they can participate in the global economy more effectively.
Right. So you're not against the global economy and international trade?
No, and in fact, I probably am more in favor of global trade than most free traders, because I believe we should have absolutely total information about where our goods and services come from. And when we know they're local, oftentimes we see certain advantages in that. Many free traders wish to hide that information.
In terms of people deciding where to spend their money, how to spend their money, I mean, it might make us feel good, but other than a warm inner glow, why? Why go to local businesses and concentrate on that?
Well, and I would argue that inner glow actually is not enough to buy local. It really is about what it does for your economy. And I'll tell you, there's a bunch of differences that buying local makes to economic development, but let's focus on the biggest one. That is that when you spend money locally, you contribute to what economists call the economic multiplier. That is, when I spend a dollar, say, at a local pharmacy, that pharmacist pays people. They then take their dollar to a local grocery store. They then buy food from, say, a local farmer. And you have a dollar that is circulating in the economy. The more times that dollar circulates and the faster that dollar circulates without leakage, the more income, wealth, and jobs. That's really economic development 101. And it turns out that local businesses do this much better. And there's a great study that we have in the United States that was done about 6 years ago in Austin, Texas, looking at the impact of $100 spent at a local bookstore versus $100 spent at a non-local bookstore. $100 spent at the local bookstore led to $45 staying in the local economy. At the non-local bookstore, it was only $13. So roughly speaking, if you buy the same book at the same price from the local bookstore, you get three times the jobs, three times the tax benefits, three times the income and the wealth benefits. So we're not talking about small degrees of difference here.
But if you are, I suppose, doing it tough because of the economic downturn, and I know it has been much worse in your country than here so far, you are likely to choose the cheapest option, whether you want to or not. And usually that is going to be found in like a chain store, isn't it?
Actually, it's not true that the cheapest alternatives are in chain stores. But, you know, let's put it this way. Even if it sometimes is in the chain store, it doesn't mean it's always in the chain store. In the United States, we don't have campaigns that say buy local. We have campaigns that say think local first. And the idea of think local first is just to encourage people to shop around for all of the cost-effective alternatives before they buy at the chain store. And to be sure, if you can't find cheap stuff locally, you should buy at the chain store. We have a study that's done every year in the state of Maine, for example, that looks at prescription drugs. And it turns out that contrary to people's perceptions, the cheapest drugs are available at local pharmacies, not at the chain stores. And really, you find so many examples like that that you just can't generalize that the chain stores always have the cheapest goods.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Michael Schumann, the economist and author. He's actually Director of Research and Public Policy at the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. And he's in Australia at the moment at the Building Community-Centred Economies Conference, which is on in Brisbane. We're talking about this idea of living and certainly shopping local. Can you give me some examples of communities where you've been working, where this is working?
Well, it's a great example, I think, is in Bellingham, Washington. So you mentioned that I work for an organization called BALE, Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. We have 70 networks in North America, and one of the oldest local business networks is in this community, Bellingham. Bellingham is about 100 miles north of Seattle on the west coast of the United States, about 100,000 people living there. And they have, over the last 10 years, been carefully organizing their local business community and organizing people to buy local. And really, it's been operating long enough there that they can see significant improvements in their employment, significant improvements in their economic well-being, so much so that the governor of Washington State has said she wants to transform Bellingham into a model for economic development for the whole state.
You can see this working well in a regional community like that, and I understand there are a fair few examples of strong local economies in Australia. But what about in cities, which here especially is where most people live?
Well, really, I mean, again, if you define localization as finding those great deals in either expenditure of your purchasing dollars or in your investment that otherwise you're overlooking, it doesn't matter where you live. You're gonna derive advantage, whether it's in a big metro area or it's a tiny community, if you find better deals shopping for great local alternatives. We find in the United States that in a lot of inner city communities, for example, localization is a tremendous boost to bringing down costs. And a great place to see that is food. In the United States, in our inner cities, we have vast what are called food deserts. That is, the only places where people can buy food are in liquor stores or in neighborhood bodegas. And the food is unbelievably expensive, not particularly fresh, not particularly nutritious. And when you begin to build local food stores that are linked with, say, urban farming, even if that food might be more expensive than, say, what a supermarket would provide, because there are no supermarkets there at all, this actually opens up cheaper food to low-income people in urban areas.
You say there are trends that are favoring localization. What are they?
Well, in the Small Mart Revolution, I go through about a dozen of these trends, but let's just mention maybe three or four of them. One is that all developing economies, including Australia, including the United States, have seen a shift over the last generation or two from goods to services. That is, in the year 1960, in both of our countries, about a third of our spending was on services, two-thirds on goods. That's now flipped. That's a tremendous advantage for local businesses because local businesses have inherent advantages in service delivery. Service, at the end of the day, is mostly about direct, face-to-face, local relationships. And global businesses simply cannot compete as effectively on that as locals can. Another trend, if we turn to goods, is rising energy prices. Now, of course, we've seen oil prices get very high a year ago. They've gone down. They're beginning to creep back up. I think everyone understands that over the next 10 years, oil prices and most linked energy prices are going to go substantially higher. Well, that is a tremendous benefit for local economies because it means we're going to be doing more local conservation, energy efficiency, house by house, factory by factory is an inherently local act. It means we're going to be doing more local production for local distribution, and Walmart or Woolworth production in China that ships goods thousands of miles to chain stores is simply not going to be as cost-effective as it has been. Another example is the internet. The internet has enabled even residents of fairly remote rural communities to get involved in a vast number of enterprises that they never had access to before. So you have these, you know, huge horizons of economic possibility for communities that were once linked to tourism or mining or farming or one natural resource industry or another. So those are the kinds of trends that I see at the end of the day really making a difference. I'll give you just one more, which is the financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the financial crisis is really about what happens when you separate money from place. That is, when money leaves town, it assumes a lot of risk, and our bankers and investment institutions have very cleverly hidden those risks in all kinds of derivatives and high-flying financial notes. And if we really get creative about moving our money back home through local banking and local investment, we can then make more personal, more sober judgments about risk. And bringing that money home, I believe, will substantially enhance our local wealth and our personal wealth.
Are there market interventions that can promote this, that can promote local businesses?
Yes. I believe that both in your country and in mine, we have securities laws that were enacted during the early Jurassic period that make it extremely expensive for small-scale investors to put their money into small business. And so, for example, in Australia, everyone is required to take 9% of their income and put it into their retirement savings, and you supposedly have choice on the funds you put that money into. But by law, those choices are only non-local businesses. That's insane. Two-thirds of your economy is local. Not putting that money in the two-thirds of your economy that's local and competitive is a terrible market failure. And if we just tweak the laws, and this will not cost anything, it just means being a little bit legally creative. If we tweak the laws to allow those investments to go into local businesses, you will see a huge revolution in the economy, tremendous stimulus, and frankly, it will make a huge difference in people's daily lives. It'll make a huge difference in our savings. It'll make a huge difference in your employment rate.
Michael, it's been very interesting having you on the show today. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Michael Schumann is Director of Research and Public Policy at the Business Alliance for Local Living Economists, BALE, and the author of That's in America, and the author of The Small Mart Revolution, How Local Businesses Are Beating the Global Competition. He's in Australia at the moment at the Building Community Centred Economies Conference, which is on in Brisbane. You'll find details about Michael and his work on the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters.